brings light.
Somebody say amen. Heavenly Father, we exalt you. Lord, we adore you. Thou the King of Kings, the Lord, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and everything in between. Because in you, Lord, we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. We exalt you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you are here with us. You said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank you, Father, in the blessed name of our King, our Redeemer and friend, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven, we pray. And everyone said, you know, when you have to preach the word, I'm going to ask myself, Lord, what do I share with your people? Because it's not just, you know, you're not given a topic. But I thank God that in waiting on the Lord, a few topics came to my head and I had to narrow it down. And I said, Lord, what am I going to share with your people? And it's, I went to the bank on Monday, and I was witnessing to the teller, to the lady across the table. And we got talking. She says, I'm an atheist. Never has anybody at that branch, at that bank or whatever, say, I mean, a fine young lady, she says, I'm an atheist. I said, okay. Witness to her some, I couldn't talk too much. And that was along the directions of which my discussion was heading. So she said I was an atheist, so that she was an atheist. And that was along the directions of what my message was going to be. And then I didn't know at that time also, Wilson said, I'm going to watch a movie. God's not dead. I said, what a coincidence. So by the special grace of God, we're going to talk about evolution. So the topic of my message this morning, evolution. It's a question. I want you young ones, I want you to take notes. The reason we're going to talk about, one reason we're going to talk about this morning, because you are bombarded every day, at school especially, with this topic of evolution. And when they start talking about this topic, they kind of deceive the simple-hearted and the simple minds, and they begin to propound theories, and you think that this thing, there's a science behind this, amen? I remember when I was in HSC, we studied evolution and stuff like that, and you start seeing them propounding these theories and bringing up some pictures and all that stuff. You say, wow, there could be some truth behind that. Have you, anybody there? Hello? Yeah, you think there's some truth behind it, but it's all, so we're going to approach the subject first from an intellectual standpoint and then from a Bible standpoint. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Same thing is repeated in Psalm, I think it's 53. The evolutionary theory is a theory. Its foundation is based on the fact that everything we see as it exists today was not created. It just happened by chance. I want to present a situation to us. If everything, that, in other words, when things started, there was this medieval non-living substance that just came together. Some medieval soup came together and they started replicating and duplicating, and over time they started changing and mutating, and then something came up, and then another product came up, and then gradually human beings and birds and stuff like that came up and over what they call millions and billions of years. That's what they will be teaching our kids, that that's how human beings came about. I remember this professor I had. Man, the guy was a nut. He would go ahead and try to, he literally was a nut. He moves around and tries to make you think that what they are saying is a fact, and it's a fact, and it's a fact. And then they bring up these skeletal images that go from somebody who's like a monkey, stooping up and coming down, and then eventually human beings are standing upright. Now we're going to try to debunk a lot of those things and then move forward from... Now, the atheists believe that there's no God. It's impossible for you to prove scientifically anything that does not exist. Does that make any sense? You are saying something doesn't exist, and then you are trying to prove it. If it doesn't exist, forget it. If it doesn't exist, forget it. So they're trying to prove it. Now, I'm going to make some quotes and from different men who are science majors and all that kind of stuff. In order to prove the existence of a creator, of God, the Bible says he has not left us without any evidence. He has not left us. In other words, as he passed through here, if I could use that word, he has been of old. As he passed through here, he gave us signs. He gave us a witness. In Acts chapter 14, verse 17. Could you put that up, please? Acts 14, 17. He said, he left us not without a witness. Nevertheless, he left us not without a witness. In other words, he left us evidence that he passed here. What we are going to look at this morning, we're going to look at the physical, the earth science, and what biology, you know, life science talks about. I'm going through this because a lot of these young ones are going to be faced with this thing. The guy, the big guy, so to speak, the big shot who came about with all this evolution garbage, his name is Darwin, right? If we look at the physical evidence around us, everything is in order. Everything created that we see has to have a creator. We look at this building. There was an architect behind it. Now, what man is trying to say, if we look at it kind of, is that stuff, that's all this revolution garbage. They're trying to say to us that we came from non-living stuff. How can non-living, even science has proven, non-living thing cannot create, cannot bring about living things. Amen? They do that biogenesis or whatever they call it. The earth, the rotating of the earth, run 67,000 miles. Spinning around 67,000 miles and spinning around the sun in a perfect synchrony. There has to be an intelligence being behind it. If I ask us a question, a can of Coke, what man is saying, like, you know what a can of Coke is, right? They're saying a can of Coke, it has this brown stuff substance which all of us kids like to drink. Man is saying to us that, or evolution is saying that, that can of Coke just came about. Because way back in thousands of years, this brown substance somewhere mixed up together, some fluid, some water, and this and that, and then Coke. And then it came about. And then the can of Coke, there's a big rock somewhere, blasted, and aluminum can came out and started forming itself, and then the red paint around it. If I told you that's how a can of Coke was created, what would you tell me? That's stupid. You're not. What are you talking about? If such a simple thing, you and I can debunk it, how much more the constellations, the earth? Amen? Yeah. So when you kids, they are telling you about all this stuff, just bring up this simple arguments for them. How about this? Everything that we behold has a creation behind it. If we look at the biological sciences, our bodies, say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's incredible. They say if you line up the cells in our body to the moon and back, 90,000 miles, we'll go there 90 times or something like that. Back. Sister? Praise the Lord. I have somebody agree with me there. Amen. So our bodies is a working marvel that it couldn't have just come about with googly group coming together and all that stuff. There is a creation, there is a creator behind it. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You say, well, we know, you know all these things. These, our kids are bombarded with these issues, and they have to have a basis for them to know that, look, there's a creator. Let me read a quote for us. Even the guy who called himself the evolutionist, Mr. Charles Darwin himself, in one book, he was analyzing the human eye, okay? As intricate as it is, man has not been able to replicate what the eye is in creating any lens. It is a marvel. It shuts itself when the light is too much, when it's incredible what happens in there. Look at some of these high-tech cars that we have today. They're designed almost like the human eye. You see, some a human eye, every time you and I blink, we have these eye dogs that squirt little water across our eyes so that it doesn't dry. Amen? There's no way some inanimate things could bring that about. It's impossible. So man tries to copy it in some of the high-end cars. They put little windshield wipers on the headlights, and that cleans the thing. But every time you and I blink, the windshield is already there, the windshield wiper is there, the fluid is there, just shooting water into your eyes so it doesn't dry. Amen? It's amazing. There has to be a creator behind all this. Boys, men, so please, those of us who are, let me read what Charles Darwin himself said in his book, Origin of Life. He said that to suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for correction of the spherical chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection, seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. That's Charles Darwin saying that. That to say that this came about just by chance, I confess, it's impossible. It's absurd. It's crazy. We have a God who didn't set up shop yesterday. He has been of old. He has been before time was and created time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the scientists, true science, 100% in agreement with the Bible. Can you say amen? True science is the false ones that try to make a lie out of the scriptures. The second slide. This is by one of the greatest scientific minds in our century, Albert Einstein, which people say that, oh, he was the theory of science, E equals MC squared and all that stuff, law of gravity. Could you put that up, son? Here's what he said. He says, it takes no brains to be an atheist. No. The former 34th president of the United States. I'm going to read another one here. This is the 34th president of the United States, Eisenhower. He says it takes no brain to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny the existence of a supernatural power because of man's physical sense cannot detect it. But there cannot But there cannot be ignored the influence of the conscience, the respect we feel for moral laws of God, the mystery of the first light, the marvelous order in which the universe moves about its earth. All this evidence, the handiwork of the beneficent God. The deity is God himself, the God of the Bible, and Jesus Christ, his son. That was the president declaring, giving his own view that, look, may we have more leaders that are God-fearing, that know that there is a God who rules in the affairs of men. Praise ye the Lord. Let me go on. Let's look at Hebrews. The things that we see today, science confirms, are created by things that are not seen. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3. That's in Hebrews 11. But I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. Every house is builded by some man. Everything. But he that built everything is God himself. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let's ask us a funny question. Do you need faith to believe in God? Do you need faith to believe in God? Would you say yes? You need faith to believe in God. Praise God. I would say it was a trick question. You don't need faith to believe in God. There's evidence around us that he is alive. In Hebrews, what he's saying is this. Like an architect, it's not you want to go to see a doctor. You see this specialist, that specialist, and that specialist, that specialist. Okay? They are all good. But there's one that you have trust in more. Amen? That one that you have trust in. It's not that you don't have faith in the other ones, but you have faith in this one that what he can do, he will do it. That is what Hebrews is talking to. Praise the Lord. Let's read that scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's important to please him. For they that come to him must believe that he is. You have to believe that he is, that he exists. You have to believe. You have to trust. When you want to pray, you have to believe for something. That word believe there is trust. There are so many evidences we have around us to know. You know that God is there because of all these things we're saying. Amen? You look at your head, your arms, your legs, everything. So wonderful. You know God made it. You have to have faith to believe that he made it. No, the evidence is there before you and I. We look at the earth in consternation. So there's an intellectual, what I'm saying is there's an intellectual knowledge we need to know and acquire because these things around us, the physical sciences, the creation, the Bible says the creation show his handiwork. So he knows, you know he's there. But when it comes to believing, trusting for a miracle, you are trusting him to heal you. You are trusting him to heal your finances. Then you have that belief means trust. That he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly. So it is trust. If you don't trust him, if you don't believe that he's able, it won't happen. The Bible says even Jesus was not able to do any miracles among them. Why? They didn't believe. They didn't trust he could do it. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. So you got to believe. So, and how does faith come? How does this trust come? By faith coming by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, we look at the human genome, the DNA. They say it's the DNA code is a genetic language that communicates information to the cell. It's so intricate. There's no way that it could have just come about by chance. To the intent that if one is out of place, something else happens. When one language, the way one DNA talks with another one, and it doesn't talk in that manner, something else happens. Amen? When all these signs, I'm going to the sciences, when all these signs come about and prove and show, all our kids can know assuredly, they did not come from monkeys. Amen? They did not come from monkeys. Evolution says, oh, we come from apes, monkey. They say because what? 96% of our DNA is like that of the monkey, the ape. So because 96%, therefore, we human beings come from that. No. Science also proved that the banana you and I eat is 50% of the genes in that banana, same thing is in a human being. Does that mean you are half banana? Does that mean you're a banana? So, we are wonderfully made. Amen? When some of these scientists who are former atheists look into DNA, if one of them said, wow, he threw the garbage about natural selection, threw it in the trash, said, there's no way on earth. One of their big guys, 2004, British guy like that. I don't want to name any names because it makes no difference to you and I. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So he debunked his own theory of evolution and us coming from natural selection. He gave, said, forget it. There's the creator who made the heavens, who made the earth, and who made you and I. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise. Now, one theory that they tell the kids as they go to school is that the archaeological facts, paleontology is the study of fossils. Okay? Our God didn't set up shop yesterday. Dinosaurs and all those things, they have been of old. They are the pre-Adamites. That's another topic which I encourage you as we go into this end of time series. We're going to go deeper into the pre-Adamites and all those that stuff. Up to date, if something evolved over time, kids, if something evolved over time, there has to be evidence among the fossils, right, to showcase there's half man, half monkey somewhere, right? if it's true. But up to date, with all the science they have in place, they have never been able to see any fossil, dig up any fossil, to prove this thing they call evolution. This thing they call evolving over time. And so there's no evidence. So the paleontologists, their research 100% agrees with the scriptures. They say they can't see any intermediate form of any creature. Or they can find out that no matter what, these animals we dig up are just there. There's no intermediate form of any creature. So that is from the fossils, paleontology. What I've decided to do through this phase is just for us to see the evidence we have on our hand through science, ladies and gentlemen, that in fact a lot of true science agrees with the scriptures. We were not formed by natural selection. Okay? Now we switch gears a little bit. Actually, in between some people try to glue up some organisms. Old archaeologists finding there's a guy in China. He took a bread, an old extinct bread, joined it to a fossil, and then made a whole noise about it. To the intent, even they say the National Geographic believe his hoax. It was a hoax. There are several things like that happened, but all of them was debunked. They have not been able to, as of today, see any intermediate formation for anything. Praise the Lord. We know that in Genesis, God said, "Let there be," and every say the scripture says. And each one came after its kind. Amen? The birds, the fishes, and said, brought them all to Adam. He said, name them. And whatsoever he named them, That's what they were. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, the question I want to ask us then is, then why Christianity? How about all the other religions? Because you come, you young ones, you are bombarded at school, where have you, with different other religions. Is that true? I'll just talk about the four religions, the four major ones, and what their belief system is. Hinduism. He says that. He said, if you've been bad, you may come back as a rat or other animal. But if you've been good, you may come back as a prince. That's Hinduism. Summary. That Buddhism. Buddhism denies God exists. It says life and death is just an illusion. If you think it's just an illusion, let them go on to Sears Tower and jump down and see what happens. Amen? If it's just an illusion. How about Islam? Islam acknowledges the reality of sin and hell. But the hope it offers is that man can escape God's justice and judgment by doing religious works. And of course, we have also the other extreme. End of it. See, the important thing we have to know here is that God has written his law in our hearts. Amen? God's moral law exists in our heart. If there's no God, if there's no consequence for anything, then you can do anything when there's no law. Amen? How did man know that I shouldn't go to Uncle Ken's house to steal his car? Every Western law we have in the book is, the foundation is based on God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. He has given you a conscience. Even in the remotest jungles of the Amazon jungle, God has written his law in the hearts of man. Do you need the Bible to know that there is God? No, he's written his laws in the heart. When you are doing something wrong, for crying out loud, you know it, yes or yes. You know it. In fact, you may not know the scripture to quote, but you know why? Because God has written his law in your heart. And not just because you are carrying the Bible around, I'm not saying that. Even the stark unbeliever, he knows that when he's doing something wrong. Praise the Lord. Now, the difference in all these religions and Christianity is that it gives a way of escape. There are consequences. That's why it's imperative that we try our best to witness. There are consequences to everything we do. In God's merciful law, for those who had not known the Christ, he came. He went down to hell and preached the gospel to them. Amen? Yeah. And then to us here, he sent the Christ. Like we're discussing earlier this morning, he sent the Christ to be a propitiation for our sins. You know, God's law is so perfect, and his justice grinds. When we accept his sacrifice, we have heaven's door open wide for us. God will not change his law, whether you know the Bible or you don't know the Bible. Do you know that? Because he has written his law in your heart. Amen. Young ones, God has written his law in your heart. So to the extent that God now came on the cross because we could not fulfill the requirements of the law, he came to take our place. And he made it so simple that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
the everlasting life that Jesus gives us. Because there is a consequence for breaking his moral law, he makes a way of escape. He becomes a parachute. We put him on so we can escape from the judgment to come. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, if you don't believe it, there are consequences. There was a story of this young man. He became a believer. He wanted to go visit a country, I think it was Japan or New Zealand or something, with his entire family. This guy had given his life to Christ. But before he gave his life to Christ, are you with me? He was a drug addict. He stole to support his habits and stuff like that. So he went on a vacation, himself, his wife, his family, everything. They got to the airport. They had to complete some immigration papers. Have you ever been to jail? Have you ever been sentenced to this? Have you ever done this? How many years? What? So the guy told the truth because he was a believer. Can someone say amen? He didn't lie in the document. He said he was being in jail for 18 months or something like that, and that. So the immigration people pulled him to the side. He was there for vacation with his family. They pulled him to the side. In fact, he was so positive, he witnessed to the immigration officers in New Zealand. He witnessed to them. After everything was said and done, the immigration officer said, "Joe, we're sorry, but you cannot come in. Our law says that if you have committed a crime and you have been in jail for more than 12 months, you can't enter in." Is somebody getting me? So what happened? This man went back to his family and told them, "I'm sorry, guys. You guys can go ahead, but I can't go in because of the law." New Zealand, or the country was going, did not change the law because this guy. Same thing for you and I. The law will not change the law. He will not change his moral laws because of you and I if we don't accept the Christ that he has given for us. Praise ye the Lord. It's not because you are good like the Muslims that say, or Islam. It has nothing to do with it. Because all our righteousness are filthy rags before him. You cannot do enough good works to merit it because his law is perfect. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now you may ask me, why the Bible? And there are other books that a lot of philosophers and this and the people quote day in, day out. How about why the Bible? Is the Bible divinely inspired? How can I know? How can I prove it? Praise ye the Lord. These are things that the kids confront every day because some of their friends try to lure them into this and into this. Okay, how about this book I read, Confucius Wrote? Yeah, it has some good stuff in it. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture tells me in 2 Peter 1:28, the Bible says God inspired men of old to, through the Holy Ghost, they wrote. You could pull that up. They wrote the Bible. Well, you could say, well, you are quoting from the Bible, so what's your argument? I mean, how can you be saying something is true, but you are quoting from that book, right? If you are going back and forth with somebody. The difference is this, folks. There is no book there's ever been one that's never been a bestseller beyond the Bible, translated into just about every language on the planet. Can somebody say amen? I said, can somebody say amen? It is and will always be a bestseller. Two, they have tried their best to burn and extinguish this book. Every time they try, it failed. And we still have it today. And they will keep failing. Can somebody say hallelujah? That is the truth. These are things we will be contending with as young believers. People will come up with questions that will sometimes bamboozle you. Four, not just that the Bible declares it's the word of God, the fulfilled prophecies, the consistencies in that word, in this book, is unlike anything the world has ever seen. That is a very, very important thing. Because these prophecies
transcend hundreds of years, thousands of years. How can you write a book telling about what will happen 3,000-4,000 years down the road if the author was not omnipresent, was not omniscient? Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, Sister Chomara there can write a book on nursing to the best of her ability. Sister or Senator Okpara's wife can write because in her line of expertise. But when a human being can write so much and propound theories, it's all theories. But when there's a book that, can somebody make sure this now? Look at this. When there's a book that's talking about history, things that have not yet happened, hundreds and thousands of years in advance, it has to wake us all up. And that is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, that everything every other religion is doing, trying to extinguish this, our faith, the faith of our fathers, because it's a battle that didn't just start yesterday. Satan was a cherub. He said, I'll ascend and be like the Most High. And he will continue until God says, sees him in the peace for 1,000 years. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Over. So what I'm saying to us is, the prophetic things in this book is one important reason to know that this Bible, in fact, 25% of this Bible contains prophecies that have been fulfilled to the detail. I don't want to go into details of a lot of them, but I'll highlight a few that is pertinent to you and I today, that was prophesied 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, before man was. How can that be? If the author was not omnipresent, if the author was not omniscient, if the author didn't know the A from the beginning, if the author isn't himself the creator of all that we see. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There is no other religion, there's no other book in the world that can stand toe to toe with this. Period. Hallelujah. I'm going to highlight a few to help our young ones, and I want you young ones, write these scriptures down, because next week I'm going to make sure that you are the ones called up, because you are the ones who are likely to contend with some of these things at school. When your teacher says this, you say, okay, oh, we came from this, you can say, sir, but there has been no fossil digged up in thousands of years to show any intermediate creature. You say to your teacher, but professor, the paleontologists can't dig up anything to prove it. Then what are you talking about? It's all a theory. You can say, look, even this guy, Darwin, said this concerning the eye. Amen? Amen. So why are we saying this thing? You may not contend with it, but this new generation will contend with this thing. And the Lord commands us, teach this thing to your children and to your children's children. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to highlight some of the things that have been prophesied in this Bible thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. Are you ready? In the book of Daniel, the Bible prophesied the coming of one and only Jewish Messiah prior to the temple's demise. Who was that Messiah in the book of Daniel? You can see Daniel chapter 9, all through the Bible, book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, 3, it talks about kingdoms that will rise and fall. The Roman kingdom, just exactly the way it was said,
one after the other. They rose and they fell. They rose and they fell. There's no other book like that. And this was before the Christ came on the scene. Almost 1,500 years before. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Old Testament prophets declared, before Christ was born, declared that what? He'll be born in Bethlehem. They declared it, that this Messiah that will save his people from their sin will be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Young ones, write it down. You can pull it up as I go through. It's not just he will be born in Bethlehem. He said, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be littlest among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler, whose going forth have been of old. He didn't just set up shop yesterday. Can somebody say hallelujah? He has been of old. He's the ancient of days. And he came, hallelujah, as the Lord of glory. He will be born to a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7:14. The book of Isaiah was written between 680 to 740 BC. I mean, my length. And yet, we haven't even touched. We've not begun yet. Isaiah 7, can you pull that up so that people could read it real quick? It also went ahead and said, that's Isaiah 7:14. He said, the Lord thy God, the Lord himself, shall give you a sign. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Being interpreted, God with us. Hallelujah. He goes further. He said, this God that's with us will be sold, will be traded for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. I mean, before this thing happened, Zechariah said it will happen. Zechariah chapter 12, you can pull it up. For 30 pieces of silver. And then, he said he would die by crucifixion. That is Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And be buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53, verse 9. You got to pull this up quickly. Isaiah 53, verse 9. He prophesied it, that this will happen. Now, if all these things were prophesied, so have a thousand, 6 to 1,000 years in advance, and it took place to the letter. Look, you and I, when he said, this same Jesus, who you see taken up, who you see that was prophesied, will come again. Folks, he will come again. He will come again, because he said so, because we see the signs around us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was only one person who fits all these messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. You know who that was? Jesus Christ of the New. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Say, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Before me there's none. Hallelujah. Over 25% of the entire Bible contains specific predictive prophecies that have been literally fulfilled. This is true of no other book. So we can categorically say that this book was divinely inspired. Is somebody with me? Did they have the Bible in those days? Way back? No, that's co-apartment. But by the miracle of God, it all was put together and we have it. So you and I have no excuse. Amen? Seriously, young men, young boys, you have no excuse. Because we are taking this thing from an intellectual standpoint. Okay? Then we're going to the spiritual standpoint. You have no excuse. You can say, Mom and Dad forced me to come to church. Nah. We have the evidence before us. I have the evidence before you that this book is the written word of God. Man may not understand it, and sometimes they misinterpret it and jumble things up. But when the Lord gives inspiration, every science proves that there is a creator. Hallelujah, somebody. If, you know one scripture I read about Colossians chapter 3. I love that scripture so much. He said all things were created by him and for him. And without him was nothing. Nothing that was created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me try. That wasn't in my notes. But that scripture always, I could be doing cartwheels. No, it's Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry. Verse 16. Let's start from 15. Say, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. So, the creation that you will see in Genesis, when God said, let there be, that was Jesus. So, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things do consist. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Say, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a few other things. See, when science, the knowledge of science was not complete, they started saying a few things. And those of you who read history, Galileo, Copernicus, and all, man first thought what? The earth was flat. Somebody remember that in your history and science, right? But the Bible had already said it before. It's flat. In fact, they tried, the Roman Catholic Church tried to put, is it Galileo, put him 3-4 months in jail to force him to say, look, agree with us that this is this. Don't agree with Copernicus. But we see in the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, again. Can you put that up? Isaiah chapter 40, that the earth is circular. Before science came to discover it. Amen? He said, it is he, the Lord, that seated upon the circle of the earth. So when man was still dilly-dallying, trying to say, oh, the earth was flat, or that in fact, they said the earth was being carried by a huge giant. They found out. They saw, that's not true. True science agrees with the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of the stuff we see today. The space station. Anybody know about the space station? It was prophet. It's in the Bible. Obadiah, verse 4. Obadiah 1, verse 4. There's only one chapter. It says, thou exalt thyself as the eagle, talking to man, and thou set thy nest among the stars. They have the space station. They go back and forth and put stuff over there like a bird. Taking tools, have you seen a bird building a nest? He just carries a little twig and takes up there. So he says, and where is the space station there? It's among the stars. Sometimes you can, depending on where the space station is, you can take the binoculars and look at it in the sky. Has anybody tried to do that? You see it up there. So it's circling the earth. Praise the Lord. How about automobiles, vehicles, cars that we see today?
Was it prophesied?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's look at that. Nahum chapter 2, verse 4. Nahum chapter 2, verse 4.
He said the chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle against one another in the broadways. Sound like he's in on Broadway. Broadway Road. Said they shall seem like torches. Have you seen, you see the news when the cars are moving on the streets? It looks like lightning. Pew, pew. That's what Obadiah saw. And when was the book of Obadiah written? 663 BC, before Christ. So almost from the time Henry Ford and the like came about, automobiles and stuff. That's almost 2,000, almost 3,000 years. This thing was prophesied in the Bible. Can somebody say hallelujah? Seriously, young man, the Lord is awesome. He did not set up shop yesterday. How about ocean currents? Those of us who do earth science, biology, it's in the Bible. Ocean currents. You see that in Psalm 8, verse 8. What they call the father of oceanography, I think it's in Matthew Murray or something like that. It's when he read this in the Bible. He said he was going to search for it, and they came to find out truly there are ocean currents. The warm currents, just like. Did I say? Yeah. Psalm 8, verse 8. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. So there are paths. What is it? There are paths in the sea. There are paths in which these things move, is what it's trying to tell us. These are just ocean currents. And they find that warm currents at this time of the year moves this way, at that time of the year, it moves that way. Praise ye the Lord. How about the water cycles that they teach the children? You see that in Ecclesiastes 11:3. Ecclesiastes 11:3, Ecclesiastes 1:7, and Amos 9:6. We just read. So Ecclesiastes 1:11:3. The clouds are full of rain. They empty themselves upon the earth. It's talking about water cycles. And the tree falls towards the south, wherever it is. So it's there. So if you combine this scripture 11:3 with Amos 9:6, Amos, pull up in Amos 9:6. It's talking about water cycles. You know, it rains, and then the heat drives it, pulls it up, goes back into the earth, to the heavens, come back down as rain, and on. And I remember doing that water cycles when I was doing biology in Form 3. Anybody remember that? That's there. Job, it all talks about the free floating earth in Job chapter 26. When science thought the whole earth was sitting on a huge giant, the Bible says in Job chapter 26, verse 7, that he hangs the earth on nothing. It's just there among the constellation. Praise the Lord. Today, a lot of these ocean liners, all these ocean liners, you know how they come about building these ocean liners? The dimensions God gave Noah. The first one that was built by a company in the Netherlands just took those dimensions. And this is confirmed if you go to the Lloyd's registry of how they registered. It's every ocean liner they build today is in that ratio of the specifications God gave Noah. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. It blows your mind. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So we surmise in saying this to us. These three C's, I want us to keep it in mind. The creation proves to us intellectually there is a creator. Amen? You do everything around us proves that. The second C, the conscience. God proves in our subconscious minds. He writes his laws in our hearts. Amen? Let's look at, for that creation, in Psalm 19, verse 1 to 3, it says, the heavens declare his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. The conscience, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. And in getting all this knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, what and where does it lead us to? It leads us to an experiential knowledge of God. For us to have a personal experience with God, it leads to our what? Our conversion. Because God will judge the secrets of man's heart by this same gospel that we have seen. Just like that little story I told us earlier, if you don't accept this Christ as your Lord and Savior Jesus, you will not be let in. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. In summarizing, God has not left us without a witness. He has given, look, you do not need to know the word of God to know that he exists. Is somebody with me? Theologians may disagree with me, but you don't need it to know that he exists. He has written the law in your hearts, God's moral law. It's an addition when you know these things. And it leads us to repentance, to conversion, to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we may enter in and not be locked out. Hallelujah. Let me kick this up a notch. I went to a yard sale one day. There was a yard sale going around my neighborhood. So I just walked in there, I just browsed, and I picked up a book. Listen to this. I'm not building any easy matter of it. I read everything. There was this journalist who worked for the Washington Post and the New York Times. Investigative journalism. While flying from the U.S. to Israel and stuff like, he bumped into somebody who said, look, there's this mathematician I bumped into. He's saying that in this Bible, there seemed to be a code in this book beyond what we read. Long story short, he goes to interview this mathematician. In the book that God spoke to Moses to write down, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, that's what the Jews call it. You don't have to read or know Hebrew. That's not the point of my discussion. It's just to let us know that he didn't set up shop yesterday. He said about 40 years ago, there was this Jewish rabbi in Switzerland who found out that when they write this book, these four first books that Moses wrote, first by Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, when they wrote it out in Hebrew, you know, that's the language in which it was written. When they wrote it out in Hebrew, just right across, like that, they started noticing something, that the word Torah, like you see a jigsaw, have you seen what they call a word puzzle? They found out the word Torah was in every of those books. Please, I'm not building an ism out of this. In each of those books, like you do a jigsaw puzzle, what they call, they wrote a mathematical equation, equidistant lettering sequence. Like every five years, you leave every five letters, it forms a word. It forms a word. So this mathematician, now moving forward into today, This mathematician wrote an equation. And what did they find out? In this book that we call the Bible, they started noticing, that's my baby. They started noticing, like a jigsaw puzzle, various words coming up. And let me read to you just to perk, to see that, look, our God is an awesome God. The history of today, they began to find it after the fact in this Bible. Let me tell you some of the things they discovered that were written in that book. And the scientists, all the scientists, the big brains from Washington, from around the mathematicians, those who know the book, who know book knowledge. It blows their mind. They said, if you put all the computers together that's in the world today, there is no way they will come up with such a thing. Whoever wrote it, this book, has to be an omnipresent God. Let me read some of the words like jigsaw puzzle. Have any of us ever solved a jigsaw puzzle before? Do you know there's somebody who put up jigsaw puzzle, who wrote it? Is that true? You go to the newspaper, you write the jigsaw puzzle. That's exactly what they're finding. That in behind this book, in the Hebrew language, there's a code written there. I'm not building this. Let me read to you some of the things they started finding out. That was history that's taking place today in the book because of the knowledge of. It talked about the assassination of the Prime Minister of Israel before, Yitzhak Rabin, with his name, the year and everything. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Anwar Sadat. The Watergate scandal with his name, Nixon, and Watergate. He talked about the show, you just see the name, Clinton there. The current president, Netanyahu. The Oklahoma City bombing with the date and the name. It is mind-boggling. And the name. And the name of the assassin. He talked about, they saw even the Gulf War, Scud missiles, the Wright brothers, airplanes, Edison, electricity, light bulbs, just like a jigsaw puzzle there, and everything crossing. Some of those things we date, and the years, and the name. Did our God set up shop yesterday? They said there's no way on earth. And this was written, not by anybody religious. This guy is just a reporter, reporting. And the book it's a bestseller. The Bible code. I'm not, please don't look, the way to salvation. We have enough, okay, of what we can see, what Jesus prophesied in the written form. Okay? The fall of Jerusalem, Titus' army coming, the history. I'm just putting this, that this has no religious intonation to it. It was just a reporter reporting what happened. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. He didn't set up shop yesterday. He's been of old. He has been of old. I'm going to invite, as I round up, let's just pray. Peradventure, you have heard what's been said, young men, young women, boys and girls. Jesus is the way of escape. Jesus is the answer. Jesus gives eternal life. If you have not given your life to him, these words, little words that I share with you, it shows you the intellectual knowledge or the word of God. His law is written in your heart, and he has given us the book, the Bible. So we have no excuse not to accept. And he said to us, he that believes in me, he will not be cast out. Amen. Amen. Praise you, the Lord. If you're not giving your life to Christ, it's an opportunity. You don't have to come up here. Right in your bedroom, Jesus will meet you wherever you are. He will meet you. Like we said this morning, the veil has been opened. for us to walk in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.